The reason it was probably I had so many tabs open because I've just been grinding hard today.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
Yeah, man,
one of those days, but
I'm excited to hear
go
what
on.
you've been working on, man. But I want to say congrats to you guys for not losing on Tuesday.
Wow, well, we were lucky, man. We were lucky.
I know.
It was some big errors in that game, but it was a tactical game. Sure, for the neutral, that loved it. And likewise for your game as well, some of the goals in there.
I know, man. There was some good stuff going on. Did you watch any of the stuff yesterday, Barcelona and all that?
Oh, yeah, with the Barcelona game. Yeah.
That was a good game too, man. That was a really
Very
good
good
game.
game. Again, PSG just
Yeah, man.
can't cut it in this competition, man. They've signed the best players in the world and they just Champions League obliterate them.
I think that's part of the problem too. You know, you're signing all these so-called superstars, and even I mean, with Messi and Neymar there, when they play, they couldn't do it. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It happened to Real Madrid back in the days too, you know. So it's just interesting to see that kind of competition. But it's always exciting, man, because I feel like last year, you know, even we had kind of these points where like, oh man, is this really happening? And then all of a sudden it happened, and then this year it's like, oh damn, we got to face Real Madrid now, and then we got all these other teams. You know, it's just every year is just more exciting. So man, I was just really happy that we didn't lose that first game.
Yeah, and I think you I didn't watch the full thing, but I think you could also won that. Like, and Real
Oh
Madrid
yeah.
got really lucky, you know, by two of those deflections, you know,
I
and
know, I know. And that's the other
so.
thing too. It's like it's crazy, bro. It's crazy. But how's everything else been, man? What you've been working on? What you've been grinding on? I'm excited to hear. Like, we haven't caught
Yeah,
up in a
man.
little while, and I'm glad to finally have you on the pod, and we get to just shoot the shit a little bit.
Yeah, man, that's what it's about. You're looking well as well, man. That beard continues to get stronger.
Danger, brother. I appreciate it, man. This is like a daily
Yeah.
project. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, let me make sure everything is, nice and fluff, and
I love it, man. I
it's like
love
when
it. It's
girls have to
looking
get their
great.
hair done and shit in the morning, I have to get my beard, in place, because when I wake up, this shit's like to one side, and it's crazy, dude.
Oh, that's funny, man. The grooming morning routine of the bit, man. Nah, it's looking great. You're looking
Yep.
great. Yeah, I've
Thank you,
been
brother.
busy, man. I'm working on two main projects at the moment.
Okay.
The first is I'm working with one of my business partners, Heather Cooper, and we
Oh,
are
yeah.
just building out her brand in the AI world. And that's been going on now. I think we've been working together for nearly a year and a half. So that
Yo.
was when we started working together. That was really when things started to take off for me. And there was no looking back to any kind of 9 to 5. And I was fully
Yeah.
immersing myself in this world. So we did building our personal brand thing around really well. We've been getting lots of sponsor collaborations with lots of AI companies. We're looking at building out more Maven courses. We started a YouTube channel. We're hitting the newsletters hard. We've got 6,000 on one, nearly 10,000 on another, nearly
Wow.
35K on Twitter, now X. Yeah, 8,000 on Medium, 100,000 on a Remix app called AI, on an AI app called Remix, I should say. So that's been good. And I've just been basically, I'm like a chief in staff, man. Like, she just needs someone that by her side to help her with everything, man, whether that's hopping on calls, whether that's writing content, whether that's, you know, absolutely anything you need to build a business and a brand online, I'm just there to help her. So that's one
Dope.
focus. And then the second focus is I'm testing out a new business. So it's a little bit similar because it involves similar things, but this is mainly focused on funnels. It's called Funnel Craft. Partnered up with someone called Noah Richards for it. And we basically got a trial client at the minute. She's a real life abstract artist. I say real life because we didn't actually, it was through a real life connection that we got this client. Everyone thinks you have to get clients online these days, and it's, well,
Yeah.
you can get plenty out there in the real world as well, man. And
You
people
just gotta
ignore
talk. You just gotta open your mouth
that.
a little bit. You know, people are
Yeah,
not willing to talk about what they're working
exactly.
on, and it's true, man. It's true.
Yeah, so yeah, we've come in, we've rewritten a welcome sequence from a lead magnet she had. So we're trying to get some sales through there. We've redesigned the entire sales page, and then the final part of the puzzle is we're going to redesign our ads to see if we can get more conversion through there. So that's a lot more focused on revenue based and funnels, whereas my other project that is basically they are very similar, but that's more a bit of everything, man. Whatever comes up, finding to go on the call, finding to write the newsletter, finding to write a little bit of content. So it's good, man. I'm enjoying both. I'm in talks with someone else to partner up and become a business partner with someone else to help them in a similar way, help Heather. So I might be picking up another client. And you know
Yo,
what? All this, man,
dope.
is when I've been minimal content creation. Like, I hardly tweet at the minute. I've restarted my Twitter account. So, I've wiped a 74,000 follower account. And this is all this word of mouth, man. You can never beat it, bro. If you have good word of mouth, good network, opportunities always
So
come, man.
true, man. I love that you wrote that the other day because I had literally just posted something super similar.
Yeah, so man, I
Because
liked
it's
it.
just so it's just one of these things, man. When I think, I think social media is obviously that can be a huge impact on this kind of stuff, especially when you're, whether you're in the agency space or you're doing products or whatever that might be. But man, I'm telling you, like when you do, even at that level, I will speak for myself as like running a digital agency, building all these great like websites in the e-commerce space and doing all these other things. The clients that always stuck with us or that were, I would say, even easier to close as like come on board with us were always when it came from another person or a referral or somebody spoke highly of us to somebody else. And I just remember even, because most of the time we used to get our inbound leads through our website, I always loved and I always knew when somebody would send me a direct introduction and be like, you should work with this person because of reason X, Y, and Z. I always knew it was like, oh, we're getting a new client because it's so sticky. There's just this like, it's like the way I think about it is like there's trust and then there's this like lineage that just goes to that customer right away. Like, oh, Thomas said this person's the one to work with on this project. Let's go. Like, we don't even need to go out there on whatever Upwork or wherever else and hunt for people or LinkedIn. It doesn't matter. It's just let's go with this person because we trust him. He did a great job. He says this person can help us. And I really do believe that in a lot of aspects, even in the e-commerce space, man, I think like, great, you can run ads, you can do all of these things, but I always try to, and it's very hard at times, but I always try to get into that place where how many times have I spoken about a product or service where I go sit around in a group of friends or whatever, and I'm like, you should go use this brand because their shit was just awesome. I had a problem, but they reached out to me and they asked me like, ship something back right away. Like, there's just this notion that you, because the market in, I believe everything now is super saturated, and I think like the little like needles in the haystack are the ones that people are talking about and that are willing to take their energy and say, no, man, don't go with that. It could be a backpack. It doesn't matter. Dude, this backpack, I've had it for 10 years and it's the best and you should get it from the, I'd be like, dude, yeah, like no questions asked. Like, I'm definitely going to check that out. Even if I don't buy, I'm going to go there, check it out, see what it's all about. And if it's in my fit or my style or whatever. So I can't go deep enough into that concept of the word of mouth and how important that is in every aspect, whether it's digital space, whether it's in real life, whether it's I think the what I think about it as Thomas is like, how for a while, like back in the day, everybody was wearing Vans shoes. And then all of a sudden, like Vans kind of made their way back and they became again this very hot thing. I think that's the same thing with word of mouth. Like word of mouth marketing was how you ran, mom and pop businesses. And somebody says, hey, they have the best bread. You should go get your bread from over here. I do believe that in all of this shit that's going on online and the way people are trying to hack their way to success and all these other things, I do still believe that the best way to build the strongest brand is word of mouth and building out that part of it. And you can't even build it out. You just have to do good work. You have to show up every day. You have to do whatever you're doing, create the best product, whatever that is. And just, you know, and maybe at some point just, hey, if you know anybody, like, let them know, like, I can help out with this, or we have this product that can help them. And hopefully somebody takes that and be like, yeah, man, actually, I'm really fucking happy with you guys. Like, I will tell you to tell other people. And you can't reward people for that. You can't, like, affiliates, like, one thing, whatever, but there's just this, this human touch that I feel like is unfathomable to anything else. No ads, no nothing can compete with that.
Bro, you just hit the nail on the head, man. Like, it's just so true. There's nothing more powerful than it. And if you simply put in the work, put in the grind, and like you said, if you have a good product, you're going to get rewarded down the line. I can't stand it, man. Everyone's trying to do these hacks. People are innovating with ads these days, man. Everyone's seen every little technique you're going to try. Like, especially, like, you know, we've both been in the space for a few years now. We've seen pretty much everything that people try. I almost can guarantee what they're trying to sell me or how they're going to try and sell me it. And there's just nothing unique about anything anymore. So if you can just be you,
really isn't.
Just keep cracking on and doing your thing, man. Like, number of followers don't matter. Your hooks, like, people are just focusing on the wrong things. You're not focusing on what's going to move the needle, man. You need to put in good work. You need to protect your reputation. I've seen far too many people tarnish their reputation for the sake of a bit of engagement, which is just baffling to me. It's a network, man. It's wild. And, you know, network as well. It's not always just about clients. You meet awesome people like yourself, see, you know, you meet so many people all over the world. And then from there, it just filters out, man. You get clients, you get friends, you get business partners.
That's it.
And it's just the way to do it, man. Like, the way to go quicker is to slow down in a certain sensible way.
I always go back to that quote. I think it was a Jay-Z line. He goes, "Real recognizes real, and you look familiar." Like, it, to me, that, like, stands out, because when you recognize real people, like, you almost feel like you already know them. Like, oh, I feel like you're really familiar. Like, you always see somebody's face and you're like, I kind of feel like I know you from somewhere. Like, that, I think, to me, when you connect, like, you and I think got connected through Pia, right? Is it, that's who connected us, I believe, right?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Again, one of these things where a great human who I've, like, become such great, like, friends with, somebody that I support in anything that she does, like, we have so many ideas we've cracked on together and all these other things. And when she was like, hey, you should chat with this person, I'm like, Damon, like, no questions asked, like, let's get on the phone and look at it now, right? Like, you and I are texting. Exactly. You and I are texting all the time about fucking football and, you know, different shit and, like, AI and all this other things. It's like, that to me right there is, that's how you build a wholesome relationship, because I know that if I'm in the fucking UK or you come to California, whatever, I'm like, dude, make sure you stop by. You have a fucking bed right here. Like, you can chill, like, whatever, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. And that to me has always been kind of the most powerful. And listen, I think we all have fallen for certain hacks and different things in the beginning or engagement, absolutely, whatever that is. Like, we've all kind of been at the point where you see other people, you know, it's that thing, like, that comparison, like, other people are growing. You're like, I have so much to offer. How do I get there? And, like, all these other things, like, people don't know what I can do. And you start, like, panicking almost. And I feel like that all serves its purpose. But I think the biggest purpose that serves is, like, figuring out that that's not for you. Like, that when you can get rid of that and you just focus on what you're doing, I think that to me has been the kind of that clarity in terms of, like, oh, I don't even give a fuck. Like, if somebody wiped out all my shit tomorrow, my LinkedIn, whatever else it is, I still know I have great connections with people that can literally text right now and be like, hey, like, I need a fucking hand with this, or how can I help you with this? And I can still keep these relationships, and my business and my lifestyle is not dependent on how many fucking Twitter followers I have.
So true, man. So true. You know? And that's, you know, you named a couple of reasons there on why I actually deleted my own Twitter account. Because, you know, I was sat there with 74,000 followers, and it didn't sit right with me. I'm I'm telling a lie because I used Hacked, like you said. You kind of have to go through that to realize it's not the way. I used engagement groups. 100%. I used clickbaiting stuff. And I had 74,000 followers sat next to my name, and that wasn't right. It wasn't something that I built through having a great product or doing something great. No, I was just doing 1,000 retweet swaps every month. And I was just doing anything to watch numbers grow on a screen, which was absolutely futile. It didn't mean anything. You know, some people, especially me when I started, I always looked at a big account, even at 20,000 follower account. I thought, they must be making bank then. They must have so much money. No. Look, they got 20,000. Absolutely not, man. I know people out there with nearly 300,000 followers who are struggling to make it work. It means absolutely nothing. And then when I started my new account, I looked at it and I was like, hey, I only got 300 followers, but you know what? All these 300 followers, the people like you say, I can trust their business partners, some are clients, some are really good friends. If I get put in a room of 300 people who are like-minded like that, and I can't make it work, something's wrong with me, man. It doesn't matter if you come in a room of 100,000 people. It's never going to work. So I'm in a room of 300 people all over the globe, all got different skills, all got different connections. This is why it's working for me. I'm not focused on trying to build out my own personal brand or anything like that. I don't actually particularly want a personal brand. Well, I understand you need a certain amount of presence online, and I do enjoy writing newsletters, which is good. So if I'm going to grow anything in the future, it's going to be my newsletter. But hey, I understand from building a brand online for the past 2.5 years what you need to do, which is why I just help other people do it now, Matt. That serves me much better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And some people will go on to say well, how are you going to help me build when you don't even, and it's just you just don't understand. It's not always, it's sometimes my ideas will have more power. My process will have more power for what you're doing rather than because we all have to at some point earn a paycheck. And it's one of these things where it's even I'm in the process of, I think I shared that long piece of writing with you that I talk about the community side of things. And some people will say, you're not running your agency anymore or whatever. It's dude, you know how, I don't need to run my agency to tell you, I did it for fucking 5 years. It's I don't need to be doing the day-to-day work right now to be able to share that with you. I'm taking my experiences, what's worked for me, how to do it organically, how to do it authentically, how to not fucking, piss customers off. I don't know how you can maximize your profits. What I've done, all I can tell you is what I've done. Well, if you want to go listen to somebody else of how they've done it, then that's cool too. But I feel like that community, to me, I'm getting ready to launch that too. But because I just, even if it's like you said, 20, 30 people, it doesn't fucking matter. If I can help one person realize shit, I should change my pricing because of this reason and whatever else it is, and they make 10% more next year because they changed something that I told them, dude, that's a win for me, and I'll take that on the chin and I'll walk away. You know what I mean? And that to me, I think it's really hard for people to not think too big and to think hey, like you said, 300 followers, but there's people making 100 grand with 300 followers, and there's people making zero with 300,000. So it's when you look at that, it's very few of them that have this many followers and making actually exorbitant amount of money, because they probably already figured it out early on and their following just grew because of their product or their business or their writing or whatever they're doing. And I think I still believe, and I started about 3.5 years ago, but I still believe till this day that the most powerful thing that anybody that has any level of entrepreneurship or that wants to build something online or whatever else it is, the best thing that you can do to kind of create that, to build that audience of, it doesn't matter how many people, if it's a fucking 100 people, it doesn't matter, is to share your thoughts and your experiences and everything through writing or through some medium. It can be videos, it doesn't matter. But writing, in my opinion, has become this pillar. It surpassed everything else I knew. It surpassed my project management, everything else that I did in my early days. I'm man, if I had I was going back to that point. It's like, if I had started writing online from the time I started my first business, like that would have added so much value to everything else that I'm doing, just to be able to share that with people and navigate this and all this. But like now I started it like way after, you know, that whole thing. And I've been doing it for like 2.5, 3 years at this point. And I'm just every day just get more and more empowered of how powerful this skill that we all have, that we literally all have, that we all share. Everybody can write. Everybody writes an email. Everybody writes a text message. It's just being able to keep working that muscle of training that brain on how to like execute, like explaining to people or digging into certain details that makes people feel like you're telling them a story or whatever that is. And I can't stress that enough to anybody out there. Like I have friends that want to start a business and they're talking about like marketing and all this. I'm like, guys, you can do all of that shit. You can go spend $10,000 on fucking Facebook ads and all this. But when you turn that valve off and those Facebook ads are not running anymore, what do you have? You have nothing. So create content. And if even if you're going to run ads, create content that's going to live in your domain forever, that is always going to be accessible by people. Because when the ads are gone, the money is gone, and you're relying only on that, your business is going to end quicker than it started, to be honest with you. And so that to me, like, I love when you shared that article with me about, you know, even like getting rid of your account and all these, like that long form writing and just being able to put yourself in that place and take like 5 minutes to read that thing. There's something really, really powerful about connecting with that person. And now you start following that person and then you start seeing what they're building and you start supporting that because like you build this trust and all these other things. And I think that's the writing in all sense, like the foundational writing. Like authentic organic writing builds organic authentic trust with other people.
Dude, so true. Writing is the most powerful, important thing you can do right now in a business. Like with Heather, she's literally in AI. Yeah, it's we can do all the visuals, we can do all the images, we can do everything. It's all about AI. But it's how we write about it and how we portray it across. There's thousands of people in AI. They could, you know, but it's how you write and it's how you build that level of trust with people and how you make your audience understand you. She's an AI educator. You know, they're learning from her. You're giving the audience a piece of something from you and they can take that. But writing is, and especially with AI and, you know, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, it's all so visual. And I do think there's going to be a swing in the other direction. I think it's happening a little already. Like, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of pros about video content. You should incorporate it. But writing, then newsletters, you know, newsletters have probably been around, well, I'm not even sure how long they've been around. They've been around pretty long, right?
And years.
Like, I think before even the first social media, man. So, you think, you know, when someone's like, well, newsletters, like, is it not better to have all these followers? And it's like, well, you know, you can look at Facebook, you see there's 3 billion accounts on Facebook. You look at Twitter and you see there's 400,000 accounts on Twitter, YouTube, 2 billion, TikTok, 1 billion, Instagram, 1 billion. But what do all these things have in common? How do they sign into these accounts? They all have an email. Everybody's got an email. But not everybody has a social media. And if you can connect with people in that long form writing through a newsletter, dude, you just win. And then if you go on social media, portray your experiences and just talk about how you did it and your story. And that's why people talk about, like, you know, people talk about a 6-month mode, you just have to go all in. I kind of understand it because you need to get some form of experience to be able to do it. Which is why storytelling is just so powerful now, because everyone's looking for something new and people see a story working for someone else and then they're just going to rehash it in their own manner and try and tell it. And it's like, nah, you need to do what works for you, because if you don't enjoy it, well, why are you even doing it, man? Like, what, because you're going to get an paycheck at the end of the month, just going to get a regular ass job? Like, if you're not enjoying it, like, you need to enjoy it. I don't want to just make a ton of money if I feel like I'm slaving myself into the ground. I'm going about it completely the wrong way. I'm probably earning less money than I was a year ago, but I'm enjoying myself a lot more, trusting the process, and that money's slowly going up. You know, me and I had a collab to made over 5 figures last month. Like, it just, you know, it's coming back up, man. And it's just, yeah, like, in a back full circle, the writing, shadows, it's going to share those thoughts. And, you know, everyone always talks about reading guru books and stuff like that. It's funny, man, because the only guru book, in my opinion, I think you need to read is A Stranger's Secret by Earl Nightingale. It's about 50 pages long. The audiobook's free on YouTube for half an hour. When I listened to that, it gave me the one key that I needed in all my entrepreneurial life, and the rest of my life as well, man. It was the most powerful book I've ever read / audible I've ever listened to. And I just find it funny that everyone always tries to find some source of inspiration or some kind of how to do things where you just need to shoot the shit and do it yourself, to be honest. Like, you figure out your own way, you figure out your own path, man. It's unique to you because you're unique. There's no one else like you on this planet, man. And yeah, you can take inspiration. Yep. You can take ideas from other people and all this, but you just need to walk the path. And shit goes wrong, or figure out why it went wrong. You learn the lesson, and then you just go again, man. And that's really all there is to it.
Yep. Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about your writing journey and how you came about just simply, just writing. Was that always kind of a big part of your life, or is that more so recent where you just kind of discover, like, oh, shit, like, the online world is real? Like, I'd love to hear, but I'm always interested because my journey is kind of weird and I didn't even realize it, but I'd love to hear how you came to a place where you just took writing, you know, more seriously and realized that this can actually, you know, amplify certain things you're doing, whether it's business related or personal things or whatever that might be.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, man, because I have only really started taking writing seriously in less than a year, you know, like, and probably only rarely. Funny again, like, I restarted my Twitter account, I restarted my newsletter like 9 months ago, because it was a very old list, it was small, and it just was inactive, and I just thought, I'm just going to start fresh. And it was at that point, around 9 months ago, that I realized how much I actually enjoy it. I'm dyslexic. I wasn't the best at writing in school. I never really got on with it. Didn't particularly like English. But I always loved reading. And I always got on with reading. But I was never as much as an avid reader again as I am today. The more I like to write, the more I like to read. And it wasn't until that 9 months ago, I was like, this is something that's just really awesome to do. It develops my thinking and develops my clarity, and it gives me ideas. And it's just so fun. And I just got really into it a lot more. And I was writing for me and my enjoyment rather than writing to try and get engagement and stuff like that. But over the 2 years of just being on Twitter, I did learn a good chunk of copywriting, a ghostwrite for 10+ clients. And I was getting all these skills. And I think I kind of built up these skills of just being so trying to leave the job. I do not want to work in factories. I do not want to work in warehouses anymore. Getting out of this life. Just having that mindset, just to leave that. I kind of forced myself through the writing I didn't really want to do. And then I built up these skills, and then I kind of climb myself up to a mountain, and then I kind of come to a peak where I'm like, hold on, I've been missing the fun out of this, man. Like, this is actually really, really fun to do, and I'm not just getting all these benefits anymore, I'm actually enjoying it. And then I started 9 months ago, and I just started taking writing more seriously. I would not call myself a quality writer by any means. I think there's tons of people out there who are a lot better, but I am very much, I don't like editing. With my newsletter specifically, I'll write a newsletter and I may do a very quick scan, but often signed, send, you know, first draft, raw thoughts, unedited. It's how I would speak it. Like, you know, there's things, stumble words, the nightmare, Yeah. It is what it is. You know, I mean, just raw and authentic. Just send it out there, man. And I think that authentic touch, people have said that they'll let that abide in my writing. So very recent, man. But it's something.
I love that.
I've not realized just how important it is, but man, it's really fun. And it's so good. I'd love to write a book one day. That's on the bucket list.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll share that same notion. I'm kind of the same way. Shooting more from the hip. Like, I'll get a thought and I'll just open up like a notes app and quickly just bash something out, and I'll do a quick, you know, scan just to be like, am I repeating myself too many? You know, it's just kind of, because it's kind of almost like a brain dump in a way, and then it goes through a little bit of like a quick edit, but. And then I'm just like, all right, this is it. Like, I'm happy with this. Just send it out. Like, I need to get these thoughts out. And I think to me, that's always felt better than like sitting on something, because I'm not very good. I don't know how many, you know, fucking journal entries and thoughts I've had that are half-assed, and I rarely ever go back to them. I rarely ever go back and be like, I should write about this now. It's like, there's no fire under my ass to write about this right now. That was a thought that was gone, and I just don't really give a shit about it. Or it's not relevant right now. Maybe when it comes back, I'll get back to it. And I think that's always been kind of my process too, is just be able to do that. I'm actually in the process, been in like a couple months now, slowly writing a book that I feel like I think this is kind of like when you talk to people in real life, and that are maybe people that are not entrepreneurs, and people that you just see are like very fear driven and all this. I always ask the question. I was like, why don't you try that? Like, why don't you just give that a shot? You know, whatever that is, it could be starting a business or I don't know, going out and working out, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And I just keep going back to that same question. And then I was sitting down one night, and I don't know what popped into my head. I was kind of like in the zone. I had my headphones on. It was like, and I was like, oh, you know what would be a sick book to write? And I just called it Try Something New. What's the Worst That Can Happen? That's literally like what the title of the book is. And I just thought to myself, like, this is exactly what I wish like people know about, like trying something. That's like, you lose very little when you go after something new. Like, you actually gain so much perspective. You gain a certain skill set that you might have not known you had. You gain a perspective on other people's skill sets that you start to appreciate more. You start to realize that things are not as hard as you imagine them to be when you started like doing all this crazy planning and research and all this bullshit that people get themselves kind of in a web of like, I should do this and I should do this. Like, no, the only thing you should do is just like put one foot in front of the other and make progress every single day or every single week and go after that thing, whatever it is. And it's just, it's funny to me how much people are willing to overcomplicate the process before they even start it, which sets them back to never starting the process. And to me, it's like, I want this book to be that thing, like a thin book. I'm not trying to write fucking 30 chapters or anything. It's going to be just super simple, like a Derek Sivers book, like super tiny, like 50, 60, 100 pages. It doesn't matter, 10 chapters, whatever it is. And just simply like, here's what you kind of need to just start doing, because these are the things that are on the other side of trying new things. Like, how do you build a landing page? Dude, there's 1,000 resources out there, but the best thing you can do is find one and go in and start clicking around and realizing that it's not as hard as you think. You don't need to go hire somebody for $5,000. You don't need to spend a bunch of overhead money. Like, I always compare it to this. If you know how to work an Instagram account and create all the little stories and use the widgets and move them around, I was like, there's a good chance that your brain in one way or another can figure out how to drag buttons and drag lines and drag text. Like, I'm telling you right now, it's not much different when you take it in the grand scheme of things. And there's so many people who just have this like rush of panic when they start something that they're not familiar with. Like, oh, what is this? It's like, no, dude, it's not that crazy. You can't make a mistake. Like, nobody's looking at you right now. It's like nobody's fucking hovering over your shoulder and recording you and saying you're making a fucking mistake. Like, you just got to do it, and you got to sit here and get frustrated for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you're just going to have a breakthrough fucking moment. You're like, oh, this wasn't that hard. I can use a template. I can put some text. I can do this. And boom, this is my first version. Just be happy with it. Like, you don't need to sit here and, oh, this person is better or this person is better. Like, all that is complete noise that you don't need to worry about it. And that, I think, to me is like the pillar of anything that people want to do.
Bro, you raised so many good points. I still find it baffling today when you see someone come into this game and they're just sitting there and they're trying to plan out what to do. I get goals, and yep, goals can be very good. But people are here like, I need to build a landing page, I need to do 10 amounts of content this week, I need to start working on a product. I need to maybe hire a few people to step up. And it's just like, what are you doing? Like, all I did was when I first started this game, I came on, I bought an affiliate marketing course because I wanted to start a side hustle, and then I just started tweeting about it. Like, I just went in and did things, man. And like you said, people, I think the main reason people overplan these days is just the lack of confidence in themselves. I think there's a confidence pandemic in its own, and people get so scared when they go out into the big bad world and they're putting content out online and they're trying to put something out and they're trying to build a business, and people just lack the confidence, man. And as soon as the only way is to get that self-belief is putting in the reps and putting stuff out there and trying and failing. And like, I know I've spoken to people who I really respect, and they even still to this day, they get a little bit of, oh, should I send that? Should I not send that? And it's crazy to me. I'm just like, I just don't care, man. I'm just like, I'll just send it, man. Like, it is what it is. Whatever happens, happens. As long as I'm not doing something insanely stupid, I'm going to be fine. Yeah. And there's going to be a solution for it. I'm going to get over it, and I'll climb that hill, man. People just need that confidence, and people just need to stop, people need to stop waking up. And then I think I maybe explain some things which do have benefits, but let's wake up, have an hour of meditation, go for a 3-hour walk, and maybe I can sit down, have a cup of coffee, and then I can start my work day. It's like, nah, man, I get up and I just start working. That's what moves the needle, man. If I feel like I need to rest up, I love reading in bed, like before I go to sleep.
Yeah.
Because I've completed the day. It's really good. It sends me to sleep after like half an hour, 45 minutes. Sometimes not. I'm really into the book or close to the end. That's a killer. I'm winding down the end of the day. Sometimes I'll wake up, think, okay, I love him, we'll move the needle straight away, and let me go for a run. Let me hit the gym.
Yeah.
Like, you just wake up, and it's like, what's going to move the needle the most? I'm thinking about what my energy is feeling. Is it feeling more, feeling more creative? Does it want to lift some weights? Does it want to do all these things? I don't know. What's going on here? GG's. Is this still recording? I think we answered the question for whose internet that was. I think it's definitely mine. And I think the problem is that I've recently moved like a month ago, and I'm now a lot more secluded, which is great, in the middle of nature. But there's been a storm in England in the past few days. The wind and the rain's been horrendous.
Oh.
So I think that's effect on the internet.
Yeah.
Like that.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I was like, wait a minute, is it me? I'm like checking my internet, and I was like, did this shit just all break down on me?
I was like,
I was like, oh no, he just disappeared. So no, it's all good. Yeah, you were talking about reading and how that, like, you know, puts you at ease before you go to bed, and certain days you just wake up with different energy, and you're like, hey, today's the chip, today's this. Like, it's just different.
Yeah, it's just about recognizing where my energy is highest, and then I apply it to that. If my creativity is really low, there's no point in me trying to force out an email or force out some technical stuff. I need to recharge that. And it's just recognizing where my energy is best applied and then doing that thing. You know, so whenever I wake up, I've got a few calls later on in the day. Just schedule around things. Just get to work. You know? Like, ignore the hacks. Yep. Ignore all these things. And do what's right for you. I know some people who love journaling. And funny enough, journaling is something which I do very on and off. Like, I would love writing.
Yep.
But that comes in bursts here and there. Meditation for other people works really well. You know, if things work for you, they work for you, man. But don't do it just because someone else said it. Find your own path, man.
That's it. I completely agree with that. It's like, you can look at what other people are doing, and if you have to tweak certain things that you think might work for you, try them out. And if they don't, get rid of them and move on and keep doing, like, you know. And I think that's a really, really important concept that I think the online world seems to, like, kind of latch onto these, like, frameworks or these, you know, fucking templates or whatever that is. It's like, this is how you need to do it, and this is the only way to be successful, and this is what everyone's doing. And it's like, the idea is that if everyone's doing, you probably don't want to be another person doing the same exact thing. That's the way I think about it. And it's like, oh, is everyone doing this? I'm kind of gonna go this way. I like this path a little bit more, where I just kind of get to do my own thing. And I think that's sometimes where people get really, really kind of bogged down, and they overthink it, and the worst, I think that's where a lot of people get caught up. And I feel like you and I kind of shared this in a little bit, where it's like the whole, what we were talking about earlier, like the engagement and the numbers, and you kind of start looking at this kind of game differently. And I think when you go in that path of using somebody else's, let's call it a framework or template, it doesn't matter, and it doesn't work for you, where you get kind of like, am I wrong? Am I saying something? Am I just not good enough? Like, you start doubting everything that you've ever tried or accomplished. You start putting it into this, like, doubt. And all of a sudden, you just realize, like, oh, I'm just not made for this. And then you quit. And then you just realize, or you go the other way and you just say, you know what? Maybe that's just, like, not the way I need to force myself to do it. I just need to figure out my own path. And I need to find myself in a place where I feel good. I always go back to that Rick Rubin thing. It's like, do it for yourself. And when you're satisfied, then put it out into the world. And whatever people think about it, no, don't give a fuck about it. Like, don't do it for other people. The minute you start doing it for other people is the minute that you're going to completely kill your own creativity. And that's, I think, that's a really, really thing that I hold on to, very dear to my heart.
And you should, because I see other creators out there, and they're like, you shouldn't be creating for you. You should be creating for your audience and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I don't see the longevity in that. If you're not doing it for you, and you're not enjoying it, and you're not getting something out of it, you're not going to be able to pass that on. If you're working as a chore, trying to give something to your audience all the time, like, I don't like that, man. You have to be doing it for you, because that's how this thing is going to last. If you're not doing it for you, it's not going to last. Like, you know, yeah, I get that you want to help our audience, but man, like you said earlier, I probably worked with 40 plus clients now, right? You know, man, if I just worked with one client the entire time, like, just help one person, it's still a big success, that, man. Even if you just, like, the impact you can have on just one person because of how you help them and how you help build something for them. Don't underestimate that.
Exactly.
You've not got to be the next person who creates something that changes a million people's lives. Like, you just, people, start small. Again, just shoot your shit. Just go for it.
Yeah.
Dive in, man. Yeah. I love swimming as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Always better the deep end, bro.
I 100% agree. And I love that because I keep thinking about this concept of one thing that I'm missing, and I don't know how it is for you, but one thing that I feel like I'm missing over here where I'm at in kind of the Sacramento area is like, there's not this community of people that are in this space that we are in, where we just kind of are doing our own thing and moving at our own pace. Like, I tend to hesitate to call it like an entrepreneurial community, but that's kind of what it is, because I think that's the thought process of like, you know, a creative community, almost like that's probably pleases that a little bit more. But to me, I feel like I can't share a lot of my thought processes. That's why I love this podcast so much and being able to do this. And it's not for a numbers game again, or whatever else it is. Like, everyone can see my downloads. It's all public. Like, it's about connecting with people and sharing thoughts and sharing ideas and just getting into other people's minds of how they kind of got to where they are, what they're working on, what they're passionate about. Because to me, like, I wish I can have like 10 people around me here where I can have a, even once time a month, we sit at a round table for fucking 5 hours and just shoot the shit about, hey, what are you working on? What are you writing about? What are you doing? Like, that to me gets my brain just, it's like the dopamine that never ends type of thing. And I feel like I'm missing a lot of that here, which is I try to, you know, kind of find myself in a different way to be like, okay, let me kind of create more of a, let's start off with like a virtual community of people that I just randomly talk to, whether it's like texting you or getting people on a podcast or people that are recommended to me, be like, hey, you should have this person. Perfect. It's like, I think about that as like almost like a community podcast where just somebody like Tia will be like, hey, you should jump on Z's podcast because of reason X, Y, and Z. Oh, perfect. Bring that person in. Like, I'm down. Like, let's just have a conversation. Like, it's just like somebody saying like, hey, you should go have coffee with them. They're pretty interesting or whatever. I'm like, perfect. Let's sit down. Like, I'm down. I'm always down to go out and do shit with people, have a beer, whatever that is. Like, and to me, that's how I treat this podcast. Like, I sincerely just want to talk to people who have that space in their life to just sit here and shoot the shit. And listen, if we get on a more serious topic and we want to dig into one thing for an hour or 2 hour or whatever, that's cool too. Like, that's how conversations go. And I just never been a fan. And there's always, again, back to that thing we're talking about, like templates and frameworks and all this. And people come to me like, well, what if you had like more of like this question? And I'm like, no, I don't give a fuck about your question. It's like, I'm just sitting here, I'm going to talk to people. And I don't care about a script. I don't care about fucking anything. I just want to have a conversation. And if that conversation is great, awesome. If that conversation is not that great, awesome. It's not always going to be a good thing, but I'm open to the conversation. And I think a lot of people try to turn everything into a monetization or a spot like this and that. Gosh, and granted, yeah, I'll be honest with you, like, I'd love to have somebody fund this thing and I can sit here and talk to people and keep going on this machine and the podcast to be the main thing, because I can sit here all day long with no problems whatsoever. But the reality is, there's other things I like doing. I like writing. I like building fucking products and agencies and this and that. Like, there's all bunch of other things that I wouldn't want to let go just for the sake of this. And so to me, it's like one of these things where I just enjoy having, you know, like-minded people or people from different parts of the, you know, they're walking different pathways, and just to be able to share about anything, whether it's AI, whether it's, you know, whatever it is. And that to me is like the most pleasant part about these conversations, to be honest.
Bro, you know, when because I think I actually sent you like stack a message. I was like, oh, the podcast. I was like, you got a set of questions you want to see me prior. And you were like, fuck all that, man. I don't care about that. I was having a conversation. And I was like, love you, Z. That's exactly what it's about, man. No prep. I just come, sit down. You know, like, it is what it is. But, you know, so wholeheartedly agree, man. I now have more friends through Twitter and my network I built through Twitter than I do in real life.
100%.
There is this. I know what you were saying about that like-minded, like you almost want to say entrepreneurial kind of created my, like, there's something in us who there's that thing which just resonates really deeply with people. And, you know, when I first came to Twitter, it was, you know, I kind of, about 2.5 years ago, maybe, maybe a bit longer than that now, maybe 3 years ago, but in my first year, three names, JK Molina, Dan Coe, and the Dakota Robertson, they're all massive now, and they're all doing big things. They weren't as massive back then, but what they did, which really stuck with me, which is something that I want to do, is they all went to Texas. They all went to, I think it was Austin, because when I was in Austin, Rob Riker actually pointed out the apartment they were at. And he just, they all went in, and they all just focused on their thing, and they passed ideas off each other. It was just three guys, and they all boomed after that, man. You know? I mean, people don't understand how powerful that can be. You know, we all know our environment. It takes what we do. And I would absolutely love, like, I'm meeting up with more people again this year. I would absolutely love to go somewhere for 3 months, 6 months, go with a couple of boys, stay in a place. Let's work on ourselves, man.
Yeah.
Because when you have that around you, that growth, man, that growth would be so bug me. I think that would be so drug fueled, man. I would get addicted to it. And
I agree.
Yeah, that would just propel. Do you know Zach Hummel as well on Twitter?
Who is it?
Zach Hummel.
I don't think so.
Oh, bro, I'll send you as a card. You'll love this guy, man. The reason I bring him up is because you talked about our community and stuff like that. That guy he was one of the first accounts I ever found on Twitter, and he literally, I think he's in Indianapolis. I'm not very good on American geography. I might have got that wrong. Okay. But he basically has built an in real life community. Like, he's had 10, 20 people fly out to where he is because where he's built his gym, where he's built his community. And he's basically just formed the brotherhood. And I was like, he's gone online because, like you, like me, we're trying to find other like-minded people. We're trying to build something. And we're finding these people, and then he's taking it offline, and he's built his community, and that's special, man. And I've always really liked that. And then
that's beautiful.
When the JK and all that linked up and done stuff, you know, people forget. It's we live in the real world, man. We live. It's not all about online. It's so much fakeness, and it's so different to what happens in the real world. And that's all you need to be, man. That's what you need to be doing.
Yeah.
So who knows, exactly. Man? One day we'll have our own table dinner.
Absolutely. And my other phase of this podcast, and I put this out, you know, probably at the top of the year sometime. And my next phase of this podcast, the only reason that I would potentially want, you know, let's call it like some sort of sponsorship thing or whatever that might be, is just to get enough cash to be able to use that directly to go to people and do it in real life, like sit next to each other, fucking smoke a joint, like drink some beer, whatever that fucking thing is, like just to sit here there and like vibe and like have conversation. Like that's what I would use if I was to ever make any money off of this podcast or try to like figure out a way to monetize it, whatever. That would be my number one thing, is just to be like, oh, Thomas, I'm going to fly out to the UK. We're going to go catch a fucking football game. And then afterwards, let's record a fucking podcast. And you know what I mean? Like that to me, bro, my heart would be this big, dude.
Yeah, I would love that, man. That would be awesome. We have to do that one there. We have to.
Absolutely. We'll go watch a City Arsenal. We'll watch a City Arsenal game and we'll go drink beer and shoot the shit at some bar somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, man. That would be epic. And that's the beauty of what we're doing, man. Because if you keep doing what you're doing, man, and another opportunity will come around. And it's funny as well, because I know it's taken a few times for us to get on here. I've always been like, when I hear the word podcast now, I'm always very skeptical about it, because I'm always there like, people go on and they pretend they know all this stuff, and it's like, bro, I know nothing, man. In the grand scheme of things, I know absolutely nothing. Anyone, if you've got this far and you're one of the 20 people that decide to listen to this for whatever reason, mate, there's 10,000, 100,000, probably millions of people out there who could tell it better than I do it better than I do. Like, I don't go on. This is a chat. Just shoot your shit. This is what Twitter should be about. But that's actually where unique ideas, which are the generic ideas, which you hear on the podcast, that this is how you make. Become financially free and stuff like that, and then you hear the first thing, but a rich daddy, they put $100,000 loan. You're just like, it's just absolute nonsense. So if you can create something different from that, bro, you'll win, man. Because people ain't tired of seeing the same old things, and I think they're very podcasted out. So I'm rooting for you, bro. You got something special cooking here.
Thank you, bro. I really appreciate that. And, you know, that's the whole thing. It's like, never did I have something scheduled for this podcast where I'm like, I really don't want to fucking talk to this person, but I feel like it would be good for, you know, numbers game, or they're going to tweet my thing, or I've never, ever been. And that I consider myself very lucky with that. Because all of the people that have been on this podcast have been, for one of two reasons, somebody that I truly connected with, and I'm like, hey, come on, like, Pia's been on, I think, like, 3 or 4 times. Like, just love talking to her. Like, I love having conversations, because girls have this great creative energy, and she fucking, every time I get off the phone, I feel like she puts a fire under my ass. I'm like, oh my God, my brain is just going 1,000 different ways.
Yo,
and
then there's, like, you know, that,
things
she?
Where I just, yeah, and I think, like, for me, When I see people, you know, that I've either connected with in the past, or see somebody that I go kind of through their account, I'm like, oh man, I really like what this person's kind of talking about. Like, this would be, it seems like they have a, like, almost like a thing, like they have something cooking here. And I always, whatever it is, there's been random companies that I've, like, seen on, like, LinkedIn or whatever, and I see the founder and she posted something really cool. And she was like, owned like a mushroom brand, like microdosing mushrooms. I just remember seeing that, and I commented on her thing, and I DM'd her, and I said, hey, love this topic. I'm big on this. I love mushrooms. Like, want to come on and just chat? And she was just like, yeah, absolutely. I've never done a podcast, but I'd love me. I'm like, perfect. I was like, you have nothing to prepare for. Just come on, let's talk, and let's get to know each other. Like, we're getting to know each other in public, pretty much. And that, to me, like, I'm like, oh, I don't know what to expect. They don't know what to expect. It's just this organic thing where we come together and we just have a conversation about a similar topic. And, you know, there's always an underlying kind of, like, whether it's an entrepreneurial thing or a creative thing or whatever that is. But there's always this wholesome conversation. And there's no time limit on it. It could be a 30-minute thing that we just say, hey, this was cool, 30 minutes, that's it. Or it could be an hour and a half where it's just like, we just keep going on about shit that doesn't even matter. And that, to me, I think that's where I feel like I can easily go fucking, if I'm in a room with a person like you or whoever, I can easily go fucking 3 hours, because it could just be anything. It could be a podcast about fucking anything. Like, we could put an Arsenal City game on and just sit there and record the entire time when we're just watching the game. That, to me, fuels me. That's what I'm striving for. And so I appreciate you saying that, because I've really, really enjoyed this part of it. And if you ever, knowing what you know about me and all this, and if you ever run into somebody be like, dude, this would be the perfect person to just chat with, always feel free to send them over. Because I, like we said earlier, the word of mouth thing, when somebody says, like, hey, you should connect with the person, I think that was a lot of good weight, because I feel like there's something there. That person knows me. We've connected a few times. They know my vibe. They know I don't bullshit people. I don't do anything out of the ordinary. Like, I just kind of do my thing. So yeah, man, I really appreciate you saying that, brother.
Yeah, of course, man. You know, I'm rooting for you to win. And it's funny, Pia, she's connected me to a lot of people as well. I remember when we just, like, because we speak pretty regularly, and after one call, it happened on the call that she was like, oh, have you heard of this person? And I was like, no, I'm not who this person is. She's like, oh, she's really into chess. You should speak to her. And I was like, fuck yeah, I love chess, man. Like, let's go. And I DM'd this person, and it turns out she was like a gold medalist at age of 15 in chess and had this whole backstory in it. And I was like, let's talk.
Oh, wait, she's like, is it, cool. Tell me her name.
Oh, like she was called Sonya. She's actually, I think, now changed her name to Shumi.
Dude,
yeah, you know her?
Of course I know her, dude. She's a fucking genius, bro.
Yeah, she's genius.
She's a fucking worked at Apple, worked at Google, worked fucking crazy. Yeah, crazy.
So literally that same day, me and her got on a call and we chat for like 3 hours, man. Literally, went so deep into chess, talking about life, what she's doing, what I'm doing. She thought I was some real man person, so I turned deep to her account. And I was like, what are you on about? There was some chess champion who had this backstory. He was now trying to do all this stuff at Google. I was like, you're incredible. Like, what's the matter with you? I'm nothing compared to you. And she's like, nah, but you're... Mate, we just went so deep. I was like, it was the same day. And I was just like, wow, that's just so awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's just how it can happen, right? You know, just like that.
I love it. I absolutely love it, man. And that's the best connections right there. And it's just that it doesn't even have to be like for me and you, I feel like we connect deeper level on like football than we do anything else. And it's just like, it's a beautiful thing to have that dual connection. Like,
yeah,
you know, like it's awesome.
And that's the funny thing about it, right? Is like I've met so many people, and like I know if I came to you and I had a question about some form of agency, or I just wanted some feedback or something, like I know I could do that. But I know the majority of the time we probably speak about football because that's what we deeply connect on most. Another example is Eddie Kwan, right? Eddie, I know if I spoke, we needed to get feedback on something, we'd send some voice notes, maybe help me recall. But 80% of our conversation is boxing, right? You know, like,
yeah.
And
yeah,
as I go, like, there's different people where there's going to be something which you really resonate with something, with someone, and that's going to be a primary topic of conversation. But, you know, we're humans, right? We have relationships. We have hobbies, man. Like, we speak about what we enjoy, but we know that there is also that person is actually just a really good friend, and he actually has my back. And if I need some help or advice,
exactly,
he's going to give it to me, and it's going to be advice that I value. And that's what I've loved about the network, man. Like Twitter,
that's amazing.
There's no better app for networking than Twitter. Like
100%.
I don't know why. I don't know whether how it was built or the people just suddenly get trapped there. I could never have met who I've met on any other social media app. I don't think I could have done it on Instagram. I can definitely not done it on TikTok. No. I've never gone on TikTok. YouTube, I don't think there's really a community. But for whatever reason, Twitter and its community, gold mine. And I miss so many good people.
It's because
people
it's
on
conversation him, based. It's because it's conversation based. It's about the people putting their thoughts out there. It's kind of two layered. It's like you're sending a text message to the entire world, basically. You're just like mass texting people. And then you only get a few people that are actually like, oh, that caught my attention. Let me reply. You know, out of thousands of people that you're sending it to, millions of people that you're sending this out to, anybody has a chance of reading it. But mainly the people that are going to read it is the people that are maybe following you and they're interested in something. And then that starts a different types of conversations. That's like the commenting and, you know, somebody reposting your stuff. You're like, so more people need to hear about this. There's layers built into that platform that allow it to happen. You can't do that on Instagram. You can't do that on a lot of these other platforms because it's visual and people get really caught off guard when they see whether it's somebody that looks better than them or somebody that they want to look like or whatever that thing is. It throws off the whole content piece. It just becomes visual. And to me, I use Instagram solely on, like, I have maybe two group chats on there. I have two of my buddies are on there and we share just stupid ass fucking reels that we run into, like stuff that you just like, what, like by your, like it, usually it's like football related or whatever, but it's that. And then I have just like a group with like my friends where we just share like, I don't know, stupid shit there too, but like it's nothing to the point where like if you were to like send me a DM with like somebody's tweet, like, dude, this is a sick little thing this guy wrote up, like I'm actually gonna pay attention because there's no visual there for me to take my attention off. I'm focused on the content, on the writing. And that's why I kind of go back to that whole thing about like how important writing really is, and somebody to be able to distill their thoughts, because when you really read it, then you like really get to connect with that person differently, and you get to have a different respect. Anybody can post a fucking picture, bro. Like, that's just, not everybody can write though. Like, not everybody can write, you know? And I think there's more quality there than there is, you know, I mean, I could post 16 pictures on Instagram today and I probably will get like 3 comments. But if I post, you know, 16 pieces of content over the week on Twitter, I guarantee you that there's going to be a much more thorough conversation with people, and there's going to be people reaching out and be like, dude, this is sick. Like, I never thought about, you know, whatever that is. And it's just, it's very different, but that's why I love it. And I mean, I'm still amazed. Like, I'm working with somebody right now and they are just opposed to using it. And I'm like, that's okay. Like, it's not a necessity, but there are certain levels that you're not going to reach anywhere that you will reach on Twitter or X, because it's a written format, and the written format works really, really well for people to bring people into an engagement perspective. Like, you know what I mean? And that, I think, is not the, it's not necessarily the goal, but it's more of like, hey, if you're sharing something, of course you want to hear that people are, you know, read it, or they like what you wrote, or maybe just have an opposing thought that you can have a conversation about. It doesn't need to be anything negative or derogatory or whatever, but just simply to say like, hey, I really don't agree with that. Okay, well, cool. That's okay too. Like, why don't you agree? Like, let's get into DMs and let's talk about this. What are your thoughts? What do you think? You know, and I think that's where the human aspect of it comes through. Whether with Instagram, it's like, people post just the good days, you know, like, it's the good days over there. Like, people post the good shit over there. And it's not always good. And we all know that. So when people post like really personal stuff on Twitter, you can't really correlate that over to Instagram very easily. So I think there's just like this like imbalance of like what's real and what's not real.
Yeah. And it's definitely like, especially in the DMs as well, like you sit through a couple of, I think I had one group chat on Instagram, which is like 2 boys. But like you just send funny stuff in it. It's just like,
yeah.
And I think I go in there every like once a week. I just have a scroll for 5 minutes. Yeah. It's just to have a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just the DMs on Twitter, they're so different. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a big problem with cold DMs at the minute, and there's too many people cold DMing. Yeah, for whatever. Yeah. I don't know who's still telling people to cold DM. It's wild. I
hit spam on every one of those fucking things. I hit spam every fucking time.
I just don't know who's telling these guys. Like, it's not, there's 20 different better methods to go about it. Like, that is so far down the list, and so many people are doing it. It's wild to me, but it must be, I don't know, is it working? Like, I've never replied to a single cold DM in my life.
No.
But I have replied to DMs where they said, exactly, where they're like, yo, hey, Tommy, what's up, man? I really like this post. Or they've said something about it, or they've like just popped in with a question, and you can tell they're not trying to sell me something. They're actually just trying to connect with me, and I'm like, yo, what's up, dude?
Yeah.
And then you just have a random chat, and then you just speak to this person, and then normally pick it to Telegram because you don't want to speak so long term in Twitter DMs because they're a mess. But then you just got another connection, and it's just awesome. And all these connections, they build up. They build up everything you need. You know, it's a network of everything, man. It really is.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything has its flaws, but I love it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the reason I started this whole entrepreneurial journey, so.
That's it, man. There's a lot of good inspiration for people who are not in this space to get inspired, to be like, oh damn, look how people are, you know, making money, or look what people are doing. Oh damn, there's not only one way of doing marketing or whatever else it is. It doesn't have to be this. Like, you can literally write your way to like building products and digital businesses, and like write your way to marketing, and like just expressing yourself, learning from people, reading more stuff, like all this other stuff. So yeah, there's a huge advantage to being on it, and I think it opens up your mind to like different possibilities, and just kind of makes you think about your own ideas and be like, oh man, I should probably think about something that's similar to, you know, what that person did, or like, how can I take that into my own world and spin it in a different way? Or it just gets your brain working a little bit differently than looking out scrolling through fucking images all day long, where you're just like, this person just posted a picture of their family, and then when you look at the stuff underneath, it's like they're selling you an affiliate program or something like that. You know what I mean? It's just like, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Yeah. And I don't get that much credit. Like I'm mainly logged in on clients' Instagram because I schedule content for them on there and I engage and stuff like that. Like I actually have to go on mine to be like, oh, what is anything happening on there? Like, you just don't have that. And there's such as discoverability, you know. I'm not gonna sit there and tap through hundreds of stories. Like, who does that? I don't get that personally. It doesn't make that much sense to me. And when you scroll as well, you see stuff from a month ago, you see stuff from 3 days ago, then you see something from 4 hours ago. It's so incoherent. And that's what I love about Twitter. It's just following. If you want to go on the For You, which I think has got better, but you want the following. You can see people reposting. You see new content all the time. You see what you want to see, but the people you follow. And then it's just consistent, time-based. Yeah. Superior, man.
Yeah.
Forever grateful for that.
Yeah. Amazing.
I still like Twitter there. Yeah. Because I love that. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for
you know. Yeah, and Elon's definitely changing it for the better, in my opinion, from what you know what I've seen. And I'm a big fan of his. I think the guy is just like an amazing human, and what he's trying to do for the world, and how much he doesn't care about fucking money. And he's, you know, they're like anybody else would have just been like, oh fuck, $40 billion. I'm not fucking, you know, trading that for some fucking app or whatever. But dude, the guy is just like, I need to save fucking humanity from this bullshit that these people are like doing, censoring people and all these other things. And man, I just it's those moments where you start to realize like the humanity, like when people can break through the bullshit and you see the real humanity in people and like what they want to do. I mean, you know, we all have this thought, like if we were billionaires, this is what we would do. A lot of people don't have the vision to be like, I want to make the world a better place. They want to just be like, I'll donate to this organization and hopefully that'll do something. But like the guy's so action oriented with everything he's doing that to me is really fucking inspiring. And that to me shows like, hey, listen, like, yes, he is a fucking one of the genius people, but he's not doing all of this by himself. Like he's just, you know, pulling certain strings. The way he runs his companies and all this is very out of the norm. And I think taking that concept and applying it to yourself and just saying, I'm just going to do things my way. And at some point, like, this is just how it's got to be for me, because this is what I feel like is the right thing to do. And I think that there's a lot to learn from there, but I'm really, really impressed with like how he is focused on making a censorless, you know, fucking place where people can just talk and have difference of opinions and share whatever they want to share, and you know, the long format videos and different things like that. So I think it's awesome, man. I enjoy it way more than I did back in the day, even when like people were growing their accounts faster, whatever, all that bullshit. I don't even care about that. I just think that now it's a more wholesome conversation and you can kind of get involved in other people's conversations and different things like that. It's awesome.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's definitely, I'm bullish on it. I'm bullish on Bitcoin. I'm bullish on Elon. Yeah. I'm bullish on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's been good things. And it's going to take time. That's what people don't realize, is that he came in and everyone was like, he fired 70% of the people. And it's like the business was plummeting towards pretty much bankruptcy. It wasn't going anywhere. He needed to make drastic changes. He's basically ripping the entire algo apart to try and change it and fix it and do all these new things with it. So you don't tweet a certain word and then your discoverability is less. Everyone can just say what they want.
Right.
And things like that. So it is, I do think it's, and it's also the best app to find out, you know, the way I use it as well is networking will be the main thing I use it for. But it's discoverability of what's going on, and especially if a new AI tool's just hit for me and Heather, I go on, I have an AI list. I'm sure you use X Pro, but the way you can just have lists next to each other. I've got my favorite accounts.
Yeah.
I've got the big accounts. I've got AI accounts. I've got crypto accounts. Yeah. I've got my football accounts. I've got my boxing accounts. I've got my chess accounts. Yeah. Like, whether I'm in a more consumer or a more business mindset, I can just go and then I can scroll through certain things. And no other app does that for me, and I don't get the information I get from any other app. I don't meet the people. So yeah, if I could only have one app, that would be it. And I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be really important in the next few years what that does, man. Because I don't see how things like Instagram, like YouTube is quite an evolving song. I think YouTube could do amazing things, but censorship a little bit over there has been. Well, I don't see where Instagram. I mean, they tried this whole Threads thing, which just flopped. I think from after like the first two
Such
weeks,
a
I think it just went straight downhill, man.
Literally terrible.
And that's one thing that was about Instagram. I'm scrolling, it's like, want to go on Threads, and it's like, no, I don't. Stop putting this app in front of my face and get rid of it.
Yeah,
and I don't see where these other apps are going to go and how they're going to develop. And actually, just got a quick question for you. Do you think America's actually going to ban TikTok? Like, what's happening there?
I think it's a little bit out of my realm because it's become so political, and I'm not in a political mind state, and I think that there's just a lot of stuff that, like, data and, like, user information that's being leaked out through that app. I think when you read their terms of service, it's absolutely... a fucking shit show of what they can do with your, I mean, they can literally read all your text messages and everything. It's just gnarly. I don't know. I've heard a lot of I've heard a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes. And I think the ultimatum is that American company buys it and hosts all the information inside the States. But the fact that it's a Chinese based company, and what Chinese governments are doing and what they can do with information, and I think it's a little bit scary that this is even available now to people. But I don't know, man. I think I'm really curious to see what happens. And I just don't know, but it's really interesting, and it's a little bit, like I said, out of my scope in terms of like political side of things, because I'm just not in that game from that perspective.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I stay away from political world, man. We won't get into that, but I just found it interesting. But it was like a full load of everyone in your Congress or whatever you guys call it. Like, literally all 50 people like, yeah, we should potentially ban this. And I was there like, wow, that's just
crazy.
It's a dangerous field, that man. And then you look at what was going on in Brazil, and they're taking shit in Brazil, and they were going, everyone needs to remove, like, and then Elon's like fighting back against it, and he's like, I don't care, I'm losing money on this. People surf from his speech in Brazil or whatnot. So that, it was awesome to see. But if something like that happens, I think it could have detrimental knock-on effects. Well, I don't like TikTok, but I don't think that, the government getting involved and things like that. It's going to be an interesting one. And I know with some clients being on TikTok, and I know there's how many thousands of businesses be on there. And, it blew up, TikTok, in the past 10 years it's been around, however long it's been around. So that would be an interesting one, but thankfully, I think our household at X is still stay strong.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, brother, this is a fantastic chat, man. I really appreciate you coming on, and I've been excited to have you on and just to be able to shoot the shit for a little bit. And we must do this again very, very soon, and maybe we'll do an episode where we put like a Man City and Arsenal game in the middle and sit here and just watch and have our reactions real time and shit like that. And there's something fun with that, because I know there's a lot of emotion there.
That's a really good idea.
Just do like a YouTube live stream.
Yeah, I like that, man. Honestly, man, like, it doesn't even refill the podcast, man. It just feels like having a good old conversation, man. Like, this is what I like about it.
Hell yeah.
I'd absolutely love to come on again, man. And, we can see how absolutely, we're developing, dude. How things are going, how things are growing. And I like that idea. Yeah, maybe before the season's out, we should try and do something like that. Try and find a game.
Yeah.
We don't play each other again. Well, unless we both get through in the Champions League, we'll be playing each other again. That could be,
which would be pretty fucking amazing. I think we have to do a live stream one shot.
Yeah, definitely. That would be mad. That would be awesome. Yeah. So let's do live. If that happens,
we can do that. And
Because that's what I, and what I love about with you in football is you understand the tactics and the analytics behind it, and you know, like how the games play. And so many people are like, why don't you just stick it in the box and just stick the big man up front? And it's like, well, it's just, it's progressed so much in the past decade. It's not the way I like to, it's athletic chess. You know, and there's a whole system and game plan and structure behind it. And it's not, you know, you don't have the Ronaldinhos and people like that anymore, because the individual brilliance, it's a team and it's a system. You know, you don't see that because it can damage the system if someone goes wandering about. I remember reading a story about Henry at his time at Barcelona, where he left his position playing under Pep to go and score a goal, scored the goal, and he got subbed at half time because he abandoned the system, and it could have affected the team on the counter attack and stuff like that. And I was like, well, man, that's funny. But yeah,
That's crazy.
I hope we get through, just so we get through. I think it's going to be difficult at Bayern, but we could definitely do that, man. If not, we could do it on the semifinal anyway, because I think you'll get through anyway, so that would be interesting. But yeah,
Dude,
as
it's gonna
always,
be good
man.
because you guys are away and we're home in the next game, so it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out too. Because
Thank you.
I we could have easily you know, in Real in Madrid, we could have easily flopped and you know, had a really kind of a disadvantage being away, but we somehow held on and it was good. So I'm interested, and I don't think Real Madrid have ever won at the Etihad Stadium, which is a good sign for us too. So we'll see what happens. But man, I think
Oh,
if we get
then
through, there's a very, very likely chance we'll go all the way to the end if we win this next game, which is pretty awesome. So I'm interested to see what happens. Atletico has always given us problems, so hopefully we don't have to play them. We can beat Dortmund, we can beat Barcelona. I think we're good there. But I think Atletico has always, they're a little bit on the rough side, and we had some trouble with them a couple of years ago with in the Champions League too. So I'm interested to see what happens. It's going to be a good year no matter what.
Yeah,
So
definitely. Atletico are a real dark horse. I remember I actually went to an Arsenal Atletico game once, and for all 80 minutes, this was in the Europa League about 8 years ago, something like that. All 80 minutes, we dominated them. We're 1-0 up. We should be winning 5-0. Oblak, I keep Oblak's such a good keeper. Say, I've never seen such a good goalkeeping performance live. All of a sudden, Griezmann gets one chance, scores. He's 20 yards in front of my face, and he does that, you know, that Fortnite L celebration. I never want to run on the pitch so bad, man. I was like, I've traveled 7 hours for this, and this is what I'm left with,
And he
man.
just threw it in my
Oh.
face. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Yeah,
Terrible,
man.
man.
Yeah, he's a such a good player though, man. He's been showing up for Atletico recently, man.
Oh,
Holy
yeah,
shit.
he's got like, he's kind of getting a fine wine with age, really. It didn't really work out for him at Barcelona. But yeah, he's really coming into it again, man. He's, especially this season, it could go all the way. And I don't think they've won the Champions League as well. And Simeone probably holds me out for something like that, because he's been there for a long time as well. So it's going to
No,
be
there's good
interesting,
teams, man.
man.
I agree.
It's
I
going to
agree.
be such a good
Cool.
competition.
Well, tell
All
the
right,
folks
bro.
who end up listening to the whole episode. Tell them, you know, where they can follow you and subscribe to your newsletter or anything else you want people to know. And I'll make sure to drop it in the show notes as well, just for the sake of it. But yeah.
Yeah, man, if you want to find me, the simplest way is to go to my website. It's thomashaynes.com. Type that in. You can subscribe to my newsletter right at the top. You can see my services. You can schedule a consultation call. They're free, even if you just wanted to ask about services or anything like that. You can see all my past newsletters. You can see my socials. It's all on there. It's a little home hub. Yeah, I appreciate that, man. You can find me there. And it's the same app on Twitter. That's pretty much the only social media I'm active on, mainly, but I have on this as well. So all on there, man. One little home pod. I like to keep it very simple.
Perfect, perfect. All right, brother. Well, it was a pleasure chatting with you. I always get to see your face, and
Thank you.
I look forward catching up with you again soon, my man. Thank you for coming on.
It's been a pleasure, man. Always, bro. We'll run it again soon. And I know that I'll speak to you again soon anyway, man. So it's been a pleasure. God bless you. Thank you.